Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome. I'm Rita Hauck, Lane, your host for the next hour. Please join me as we venture deeper into life with Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the way, the truth, and the life. And may the Lord richly bless our time together. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate it. We've got a really nice lineup of broadcasters and shows every day from 4 to 6. So if you're if you're available, tune in on other days. I'm really grateful to have the privilege of doing this with so many wonderful people, especially Kathleen, of course. And anyway, I wanted to start with, the pilgrimage of hope that the youth of the world took to Italy, especially to Rome. Because, if you listen to the press and the naysayers, they tell us, oh, the church is dead. No one believes. It's dying. If it's not dead, it's dying. The young people don't want anything to do with it. Well, I'm sorry. They're not living in reality. Our local parishes, some of them are suffering, and that's kind of, well, it's very sad. But worldwide, the youth, and I'm talking about, teenagers all the way up to, young adults to, the 40s and stuff, they're coming back. They're coming to church, those who never did come. And those who used to come with their parents or whatever and fell away are coming back. The church is being renewed by these people who are looking for reality, the real joy, the real truth, a real purpose in life, who are searching for genuine love, which is hard to find these days. But nonetheless, the church is not dead, and the youth are not saying to heck with it. They are coming because the Lord has spoken to their hearts, plain and simple. And Pope Leo, God bless him, he has really, really, really reached out to the youth, and he's done some really fun things with them, and he's serious, but he's lighthearted at the same time. And I just pray for his, whatever his intentions are, and that the Lord will lead him and guide him and give him peace of mind and real wisdom, understanding, and right judgment. He's going to need that desperately, because the church's primary job is to share the good news, to share about who Jesus Christ is, what he asks of us, and what he gives to us, which is phenomenal. But sometimes we get caught up in all the politics and the, the social issues in a way that he gets pushed back to the side, or he's just a spokesperson instead of the Lord, the giver of life. And so anyway, it's good news. It's wonderful to see. And it's undeniable. It's undeniable. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. And I did want to read a couple of things from his address, at his homily yesterday before the young people started heading home. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we are not made for a life. This is Pope Leo, yesterday in Rome to the youth. We are not made for a life where everything is taken for granted and static, but for an existence that's constantly renewed through the gift of self in love. This is why we continually aspire to something more that no created reality can give us. We feel a deep and burning thirst that no drink in this world can satisfy. We should not deceive our hearts by trying to satisfy them with cheap imitations. We will then, if we turn to God and accept Him, we will find ourselves before Him who is waiting for us, not knocking gently on the window of our souls. And it's truly beautiful, especially at your ages, to open wide your hearts, to allow Him to enter, and to set out on this adventure with Him towards eternity. And then he shares St. Augustine, or St. Augustine, as we call it down south and in Europe, reflecting on this intense search for God. St. Augustine asked himself, "What then is the object of our hope? Is it the earth? Is it something that comes from the earth, such as gold, silver, trees, crops, or water? These things are pleasing. These things are beautiful. These things are good." And the conclusion he reached was, "Seek the one who made them. He is your hope." What wisdom there is in that. I mean, really think about it. You know, a lot of us have, you know, it's almost like the earth and the ecology is our God. You know, that's what we look to. You know, science is our God. You know, and creation and, you know, how things work is our God. But St. Augustine, after, you know, his crazy life, you know, he says, "These things are pleasing, they're good, but seek the one who made them. He is your hope, not those things. He is our hope." And then he goes on, he says, "Sisters and brothers, these are beautiful words, and they remind us of what Pope Francis said to young people like you in Lisbon during World Youth Day." And this is a quote from Pope Francis. "We find ourselves facing great questions that have no simple or immediate answers, but challenge us to continue the journey, to rise above ourselves, and to press beyond the here and now. We are called to something higher, and will never be able to soar unless we first take flight. We should not be alarmed, then, if we sense an inner thirst, a restlessness, with longing for meaning and a future. We should not be lethargic, but alive. There are burning questions in our hearts, a need for truth that we cannot ignore, which leads us to ask ourselves, what is true happiness? What is the true meaning of life? What can free us from being trapped in meaninglessness, boredom, and mediocrity?" And so anyway, it says, "Through all this, you can grasp an important point. The fullness of our existence does not depend on what we store up or what we own. It is in the gospel, or not what we possess. Rather, fullness has to do with what we joyfully welcome and share. Buying, hoarding, and consuming are not enough. We need to lift our eyes to look upwards to the things that are above, to realize that everything in the world has meaning only in so far as it serves to unite us to God and our brothers and sisters in charity, helping us to grow in compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, forgiveness and peace, all in imitation of Christ. And in this way, we will grow in an ever deeper understanding of what it means that hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who He has given to us. Jesus is our hope." Pope John Paul said, "Aspire to great things, to holiness, wherever you are. Do not settle for less. You will then see the light of the gospel growing every day in you and around you. I'm sorry, that was Pope Leo that said that. I misquoted. So anyway, I just wanted to share those few little things. You can go online to Vatican.va and click on Magisterium, Pope Leo. It hasn't been long. And click on his homilies and find out what he's saying to the world and to the people he's talking to. It's really, really beautiful. Anyway, I want to also share with you that I've spoken to you in the past that I work with Mother Teresa's sisters in Chester and occasionally in Norristown. And their summer camp ended on last Thursday in Chester. And they, what they do is they offer the children of Chester and Norristown a free camp during the month of July. It is filled with joy and entertainment and field trips and crafts and singing and praying and mass. It's very challenging, but so rewarding. And today I would like to pay tribute to St. Mother Teresa. As I shared many times, the Lord changed my life through mothers and the sisters' faith, teachings, works, and allowing me to serve others with them through volunteering. I am not the same person I was before I encountered Mother Teresa, before I encountered the sisters and working in some challenging places with the people that live there. They're wonderful in their own way, but they have challenges and issues that most of us don't. So it's good to go and see it firsthand and understand, and also to be able to do what little bit we can to make life a better place for them. Give them some joy. Mother Teresa used to say that the people we serve give us far more than we give them. But it's not about quantity or how much. It's about quality. The little things done with great love for them is returned to us by a smile, laughter, love of Jesus. Their joy in doing things for other people that they learn at camp. All those kind of things are our joy, our gifts that we receive from them. There's nothing like it. It's nothing like seeing children that really have, you know, dangerous neighborhoods that they live in be laughing and playing and filled with peace of mind that they have a difficult time having in Chester. All right. Anyway, I want to speak for a second about volunteering. You know, we can volunteer and not trust, or we can volunteer and trust. And you know, also another thing that happens is sometimes we just don't think that we have anything to offer. I've never volunteered down there. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand this. I don't understand that. So what can I do to bring them joy? What can I do? I'm a nobody. All right. Well, that's a nice little excuse. And I can understand it because it's a genuine doubt. But when you have the Lord with you, helping you, appreciating your efforts, you can't fail. You can't. And I want to share one thing with you. Years ago, when, you know, things weren't so challenging, We had a lot of volunteers one summer, and we had a lot of volunteers. We had a lot of children, a lot of volunteers. And after the second day, one of the volunteers came up to me and she goes, "You know, I don't think I'm needed. There's so many volunteers, I don't feel like I'm doing anything." Well, I called the other volunteers in and I said, "Look, I need to speak to you all," because I was running the camp at that time. "What you don't understand is just your body being here, your smile, your person being here, shows these children that they are worth being here for, that someone cares enough to be here for them in such terrible situations." And I also mentioned to them that I wished we had one volunteer for every single child, because every child could have one-on-one TLC from someone who could encourage them, who could help them with their crafts, who could maybe teach them some games and talk to them about Jesus and all these sort of things. There's innumerable opportunities. So they kept coming. They did not drop out, and it turned out to be a wonderful camp experience that year. So don't think that you don't have anything to offer, or there's too many volunteers already, that sort of thing. Show up and see what happens, okay? And then maybe you're housebound and you can't go out and you really wish you could go out. Well, your prayers and if you so choose, funds. You could send some money to charity that does things like this and help with the expenses of it. And but prayer is invaluable. So anyway, before I go deeper into Mother, I wish to lay a foundation for what I'm going to speak about later. I want to share with you something that I read in a book last week, and it's a pretty scary title, "Passport to Perfection" by David Torkington. He's a remarkable author and speaker on prayer. And I don't know if you've noticed, maybe you haven't, but the Lord over the last 20 years, especially the last 10 years, has been really calling all of us Christians to a very deeper prayer life, to pray more frequently, to pray deeply, to not neglect our prayer lives, be in prayer groups, whatever we have to do to bring more prayer to the world. Because you know what? Prayer releases grace from heaven. Because of our free will, if we don't pray, less grace comes into the world. If we pray, more grace comes into the world, into the situations in your home, in your family, in your neighborhoods, in your churches, in your cities, your states, your countries, and the whole world. That's the power of prayer. If you read anything, go online and search for Bible scripture verses that talk about the power of prayer. Study it, embrace it, understand it. But I want to share with you David Torkington's a couple of little thoughts here. Christianity is not primarily concerned with Christianity is not primarily concerned with detailing the perfect moral behavior that we see embodied in Christ's life and then trying to copy it virtue by virtue. That's Stoicism, not Christianity, and it's doomed to failure. Christianity is primarily concerned with teaching us how to turn and open ourselves to receive the same Holy Spirit who filled Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that again. Christianity is primarily concerned with teaching us how to turn and open ourselves to receive the same Holy Spirit who filled Jesus Christ. The more we are filled with His love through the Spirit, the easier it is to return it in kind to God and neighbor. The trouble is, we make the same mistake with Jesus Christ as we do with the saints. This is so important, it blew me away. We read their lives backwards. We read about their rigorous lives, their superhuman sacrifices, their heroic virtue, and we believe that the only way we can be like them is to do what they did. Go out in the world and do it, right? If we would only read, it doesn't work, by the way. And he goes on to say, if we would only read their lives forward instead of backwards, then we would see, this is the key, they were only capable of doing the seemingly impossible because they first received the power to do it from the Holy Spirit in prayer. What we see in the saints' lives, once they started their missions, and once they were able to do these remarkable things, is not how they got there. No one can just jump in like that and do that stuff and be successful over long periods of time like the saints have been, unless they died young. They first received the power to do it from the Holy Spirit in prayer. If we want to be and do what they did without first receiving what they received, then our brave attempts will inevitably end in disaster. True imitation of Jesus Christ or any of his saints means first copying the way they did it in their power to receive the Holy Spirit who inspired them. That is essentially all we have to do. That is why the spiritual life is so simple. If only we have the simplicity of a little child to see it. True imitation of Christ then means to pray as he did, so that we can receive the life and love of the Holy Spirit, who can make all things possible that are quite impossible without him. And so, what the author is saying is we need to study how Jesus prayed, when he prayed, how he prayed, what he prayed, and then follow him in that prayer life. And so I looked up the various ways that Jesus prayed in the Bible. And I'm just going to share a few of them because there's pages and pages of it. But in the morning, before he would go out, before and after healing people, he prayed all night before choosing his 12 disciples. So in the morning, you set your day on fire from the very beginning in union with the Lord. If we are going out in the world, we are going to be asked to help people, which is a form of healing. So pray before and after your day and thank God for the opportunities to help people in his desire to heal them. When we have big decisions to make or big challenges, pray all night. It'll be worth it. He prayed when he spoke to Jewish leaders. He gave thanks to the Father before feeding 5,000 people and 4,000 later. Before he walked on water, he prayed. He prayed while healing. He prayed before Peter called him the Christ. He prayed at the Transfiguration. He prayed at the return of the 70 disciples he sent out, who came back filled with joy because their ministry had been very effective. He prayed before teaching the disciples the Lord's Prayer. He prayed so well that disciples heard him and say, "Oh Lord, you got to teach us how to pray. That's amazing," right? And before raising Lazarus from the dead, while he laid hands on and prayed for little children at the Lord's Supper, before his betrayal, after being nailed on the cross, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do." While he was dying on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That was because he allowed his humanness to overpower, in a way, his godliness, so that he could feel really how desolate we can be when times are tough, when we feel that God has abandoned us. He wanted to be so united to us that he could experience that firsthand. And then in his dying breath, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." He blessed the bread before he ate with others after his resurrection. He blessed the disciples before his ascension. And there are instances in the Bible where it talks about how he still prays for us, even though he's in heaven. He intercedes for us. So, he prayed all the time. And he did that not because he really needed to so much, but to teach us. Okay, so I have to take a break. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. I really have a lot to share with you. Okay, thanks.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Rita Hauk Lane, your host for the next half hour. I've been with some of you for the last half hour, and I was sharing about volunteering with Mother Teresa's sisters, St. Mother Teresa's sisters in Chester and sometimes Norristown, and the saints, and how a lot of times we look at saints and we say, "Oh, I could never be like that," or, "I want to be like a saint, so I'm going to imitate what they did. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to volunteer here and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." But in reality, we fail to realize how important that they could not do it without prayer. They would pray for the Holy Spirit. They would pray for God's guidance. They would pray. And they still, the sisters in Chester and Norristown around the world, still pray every day. often for God's help. Okay? And it's only in the power of the Holy Spirit that life can actually really be abundant. And I wanted to share with you, we need the Holy Spirit to help us with everything in life. Even if we're not trying to imitate saints, even if we don't have any desire whatsoever to imitate saints, we need the Holy Spirit, His guidance, His love, His fruits, His works. We need all of that in our everyday lives, in our families, at our workplace, decisions that we need to make for our spiritual growth and the growth of our families. Everything. It's not just about trying to imitate saints and service. All right? In the last half hour, it was talking about pray for the Spirit. Pray. Because it is in prayer that the Spirit comes. And I want to read to you, this is what Jesus said. If you then, who are evil, in other words, not God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Our free will affects everything. Our choices affect everything. We choose good or what's not good, which is called evil in the Bible. We choose God or we don't choose God. Okay? We ask for the good. We ask to be closer to God. And we're actually cooperating with Him. We're actually giving Him permission to do what He already wants to do. He already wants that for you. So, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So I suggest that you might want to ask for that precious help, the Comforter, you know, the Advocate, the one who will teach, remind, pray, you know. So anyway, Mother Teresa, I'm also talking about Mother Teresa, because she changed my life. The Lord, through her, changed my life, and I've learned so much from her. But one of the things that she used to do, she had little cards that were the size of a business card, and it was called Mother's Business Card. But on it were written these words: the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is peace. It is a progression. When we pray, we receive faith, which leads to love and love. And all that leads to service. And when we are in service of each other, peace comes. It's not a dictatorship. Anyway, I wanted to share with you some of the things about... I have a lot of books on Mother. And one of them that I'd like to use as a prayer companion is Praying with Mother Teresa by Jean Maloof. And in here, meditation number 2 is the urgency of prayer. The Lord is calling you to a deeper prayer life. The world needs you. Your family needs you. Where you are in life needs you to pray. You need you to pray. I learned that the hard way myself. I kept feeling that the Lord was calling me to a deeper prayer life. But somehow or another, I'd always be too busy. But of course, you know, I learned that You have to have a prayer life. You have to designate time to spend with him. So anyway, the Lord has been calling all of us to prayer. The world is desperate for the graces that are released by your prayers and mine. Okay, so anyway, Mother Teresa used to say, prayer is as necessary as the air, as the blood in our body, as anything to keep us alive, to keep us alive to the grace of God. Prayer is necessary to keep us alive to the grace of God. And there's an opening prayer here. I would like to share that with you. Lord, you said that without you, we can do nothing. And your apostle suggested that with you, we can do all things. That was in John and Philippians. I urge you, dear Lord, to come and dwell in our hearts so that we can, through your infinite and unconditional love, live up to all the potential you seeded in us by doing your will and living and loving all my sisters and brothers in the world. And that means everybody else. And here's a story about Mother and the power of prayer. Beirut, Lebanon had been torn by civil conflict since the mid-1970s. And during a visit to that city, Mother Teresa announced that the next day she would cross the fighting lines and reach out to a group of orphaned and crippled children on the other side. Some concerned individuals told her not to go because she would be shot. You have to understand, I got to say something here. Mother Teresa wasn't even 5 feet tall. She was a little munchkin of a thing, but huge in faith and courage. Okay. Goes on to say, she said, tomorrow there will be a truce and the fighting will stop. How do you know that, Mother? They asked her. She replied, the sisters have been praying. There will be a ceasefire and truce tomorrow, because the sisters had prayed for it. Okay. Guess what? The ceasefire happened. It did. And Mother Teresa went to the other side and took care of the children who desperately needed her protection, God's protection. She actually moved them out of that war zone into a safe place. With all of this unsettlement around, in that brief ceasefire. Okay, and then she said, it says, Mother Teresa took advantage of every opportunity to share a prayer and to teach prayer. After she won the Nobel Peace Prize, she saw the President of India at a public reception in Delhi. When he met me, she later recalled, he pulled out of his coat pocket a card on which he had written the prayer of St. John Newman, Jesus shine through me, which we, the missionaries of charity, say daily, Jesus shine through me. I had previously given it to him. The president took out the card from his pocket and told me, I say the prayer and it gives me consolation in times of stress and difficulty. She added, I had changed Jesus into Lord because the president is not a Christian. All her visitors joined in prayer with her. For her to pray with them was the apex of the meeting. And here are Mother Teresa's words. It is not possible to engage in the direct work of God, or any helping work that we do, without being a soul at prayer. Love to pray, she used to say. Feel the need to pray often during the day and take the trouble to pray. If you want to pray better, you must pray more. Prayer enlarges the heart until it is capable of containing God's gift of himself. Ask and seek, and your heart will grow big enough to receive him and keep him as your own. And then in another place she quoted, prayer to be fruitful must come from the heart and must be able to touch the heart of God. See how Jesus taught his disciples to pray? Call God your Father. Praise and glorify His name. Do His will. Ask for daily bread, spiritual and temporal. Ask for forgiveness of your own sins, and that we may forgive others. And also for the grace to be delivered from evil, which is in and around us. And then one last quote of hers. My secret is quite simple. I pray, and through my prayer, I become one in love with Christ and see that praying to Him is to love Him, and that means to fulfill His words. So prayer is the key to our entire lives, to everything that we hope to do and hope to be, for the things that we wish and hope for our loved ones, and for the world. Prayer is the key. And don't forget to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit more profoundly and deeply into your heart so that you can live in union, more union with Him. There's a reflection. I'm going to not read the whole thing, but Mother Teresa and her sisters lived their faith. When prayer is directed for the good of souls, it is answered. That is why prayer, not work, always came first in her life and still does with the sisters. Mother Teresa knew how to get the things that were needed for her work, and she also knew how to get things done. She trusted her Lord. She counted on the power of the Almighty. Her strategy was this. She prayed, and she asked her sisters also to pray. But her idea of praying was more than just saying words. To her, praying was a relationship of love. She shared her heart and needs with Him, and He with her. He would direct her. Indeed, prayer should lead us into a deeper encounter with the living God. Though people taken up by an unmerciful activism may see time spent in prayer as foolish waste, lovers of God cherish it. To them, every minute with God is a treasured gift. Prayer is a love relationship. Prayer brings us closer and closer to God. Okay. So, prayer is your communication with God. In communication, there's always an interchange. You speak and you listen, as does God. When you pray, do you really communicate with God? Do you tell God what is on your mind? Do you listen to God? Just listen? Are you present to God's communication in every event of your life? Every moment of your life? There's a scripture that I repeat every day, often. And some other people I know and love also do it. I'm sure there's many more. But it is, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Or, "Speak, Lord, for I am listening." You know. So anyway, the Lord wants to have communion with us. He wants to show us the way. He wants to spend time with you. So I just encourage you, two things. Get a book. Obviously, scripture. You should be reading scripture and meditating on it. And along with scripture, you need a commentary that helps explain it to you. That some study Bibles out there have the commentary within them, so you have it all in one book. But if you want to go deeper and have a better understanding, you need a commentary. And I have to say that I really encourage you to use a Catholic one, because their understanding of Scripture is very, very, very deep and comprehensive. And so I have both, but I have found that the Catholic one is, you know, for me anyway, it's deeper. And I want to know as much as I can in a deeper level. I'm finished with the surface relationship with Jesus Christ. I want the deep and profound relationship with him. And the saints, get a book on the saints, on a saint. Has anybody piqued your interest? You know, Padre Pio, Saint Therese of Lisieux, Mother Teresa, Papa John Paul II. I mean, so many. Saint Vincent de Paul. You know, there's so many saints out there. You know, find a book and read it. Don't just look at it on your computer. Read the book. Hold it in your hands. Let it come into your heart and mind. Learn from them. Because, you know, the Lord doesn't need another Mother Teresa. He needs you to be who he created you to be. And we can, that's what he's done with me. I used to think I needed to imitate her. But in reality, it was, I needed to learn from her, as well as Bible scriptures, but I needed to be who he created me to be. Not a clone of Mother Teresa. I can work with the sisters. I can do this. I can do the other things that he's called me to do. And that's where I'm supposed to be. And so don't try to be that saint. Saint Francis. You know, but learn from them. Learn from them. Okay. And I don't have much time, but I do want to share something with you that the Lord laid on my heart, and it's really important. Okay, imagine, that Jesus, hold on, I want to get my notes because my notes were better than what I say. Jesus, imagine Jesus is sitting on your porch or in your living room right now, waiting for you to sit and visit with him. Imagine Jesus is sitting on your porch, in your living room, kitchen, whatever, waiting for you to spend some time with him. Would you ignore him? Would you be too busy all the time to not spend any time with him? Or, you know, I'll spend 2 minutes with you and I have to go. Would you really? Really? Say no to him? I don't believe you would. I don't believe any of us could. We would be so excited to spend time with him. To let him, you know, love us and us love him and share about our day and our concerns and you know, live life together. I don't think that you would say, I'm too busy, Lord. Okay. That is what I'm talking about with prayer. He is waiting for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to spend time with you. We have to, since he's not physically sitting there, we have to understand what the scriptures say about the power of prayer and spending time with him. We have to imitate him in his desire to always spend time with his Father. And it doesn't mean that you have to spend, you know, hours. But there should be some quality time built into your day. So, you know, if you have to say, okay, Lord, I know you're out on the deck. I'm coming out there in 5 minutes. I'll be right there. And go and pray. And listen. Please, please do not ignore him who is waiting for you. Okay. Another thing. Imagine that Jesus lives in a house in your neighborhood. Lives in a house in your neighborhood. Holy smokes, how magnificent would that be? And you've heard he is waiting for you to come visit him and receive from him rich treasures. Wanting you to come there, or you could want to go there, sit at his feet like Mary, hear his words and teachings, pray with him, be fed by him at that house. I bet most of you would want to spend your entire day there with him. Not just a few minutes. The entire, every moment you could. Right? Okay. Well, the church is his house. And most of the times, it's nearby. Do you allow other things to keep you from going to encounter him there and receive extraordinary graces that are only available there? Do you allow the challenges the church is facing today to keep you away? There are always challenges throughout church history. There's always Judases who betray you, who betray the Lord, who make life difficult, mixed in with the faithful ones. I shared that with you because, you know, if we're too busy to sit with him and pray with him, talk with him, visit with him during the day at our home, and if for some reason we have decided that church is not for us, even though we're Christians, church is not for us. You know, I'm sorry, but you're really hurting yourself. And you're breaking his heart. He created the church. Just like in the Old Testament, God created the temple. And in that temple, he lived in a special way. He taught, he said, this is how I want you to build it. This is what I want you to do. And when the people praised, he would enter the temple and he stayed there. Jesus created the church. He pulled the disciples together and the followers together, and they were to meet together and stay together. Just like in temple times. Worshiping, praising, loving, helping, learning. And that's what the church is. That's where Jesus, where we sit and listen and learn. We hear his word. We hear his teaching. We are fed in the Holy Eucharist in a way that nothing in the world can match. Nothing. It's a union with him that nothing in the world can match. It is so magnificent. I was thinking about this on Sunday. And, you know, we should, when we approach our churches, we shouldn't look at it as just this building. It is the house of God. It is the house of God. He dwells there in a special way. He has called us to worship Him, to be united with Him in that place and with each other. And when we do that, grace abounds. Grace abounds not just in our lives and in that church, but in the world around us. He has promised that He, if we do our part, He will absolutely do His. Prayer and church are essential. It's His design, not ours. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It is for our benefit. It is where the treasures lie. And then we get strengthened and we get full of the Spirit in a special way. And then we go out in the world. And the Lord has promised to be with us in a special way. When we pray and after we pray. When we church and after we church. I've learned this myself. I spent many years not going to church. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. You can't go to church and sit there and say, I'm going to take. And what are you going to give me? And not give. Not give thanks to the Lord. Not give a smile to somebody or help somebody maybe needs some help getting into the church or out of the church or in the pew or whatever, you know. We're a family. Anyway, I have to go. And I love you. I really do. And until we're together next week, please pray for me and everyone here at this network. We are praying for you. God bless you richly.